So last week we had a little break in our sermon series as it was World Communion Sunday, but today we resume the sermon series for this fall, which is the masks we wear. Some of the masks we've been talking about are pretty easy to see. They're easy to recognize when we talk about dependence, anger, or hostility, when we talk about self-assurance or cockiness. We are familiar with these masks. But this morning we come to a mask, maybe it's a little harder to recognize, maybe it's not quite as clear to us. It is the mask of passive aggression. So what exactly do we mean by this? Sometimes we hear that phrase, we might even say it ourselves, passive aggressive. We might hear or say this person is a passive aggressive person, and maybe we have kind of a broad general understanding of what that means or what we're talking about when we hear that phrase, but it might be a little more difficult to understand. So what exactly is this mask? Well, I read a good example this week of language and how that can be helpful in understanding. So let me share with you kind of an example of passive-aggressive language, okay? So, active voice. You ate 6 donuts. Passive voice. 6 donuts were eaten by you. Passive-aggressive voice. You ate 6 donuts. I don't get any, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. Donuts must really be important to you. Passive aggressive. I read another example. Cashier charge, asked the cashier after folding the items the woman wished to purchase. As the woman fumbled in her wallet for the money, the cashier noticed that she had a television remote control in her purse. Do you always carry a TV remote control in your purse? The cashier asked the woman. No, she said, but my husband refused to go shopping with me today, so I figured that was the most evil thing I could do to him, legally. Passive aggressive. Well, let's read our text for this morning and see if we have a little bit better understanding of exactly what we're talking about. You can follow along in your Bibles or in your order of worship today. It's a parable from Jesus, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1. We are learning from the parables of Jesus. This parable comes toward the end of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." May God bless the reading of this word today. As we said, our passage is from a parable from Jesus, and Christians for years have interpreted this parable in many different ways. Some say the point of the parable is that the women represent all of those who wait for the second coming of Jesus. Others say, well, the parable, actually it reinforces a call for readiness. In the face of uncertain times, it is a watching parable. Still others have said that, like the parable of the lost coin, this parable is about women, which immediately follows another parable Jesus told that makes the same point that was earlier about men. Well, obviously, there are many different interpretations of this parable when it comes to how do we apply this lesson to our lives today. But certainly the most obvious point here is about being prepared. It's about a sense of readiness. Five young women were ready for the events that unfolded, but five other young women were not ready. These women, the not ready crew, they seem to make the point for Jesus because he ends with these words, "Therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour." In other words, be ready. So the obvious question then comes, why weren't these five young women ready? Why weren't they prepared? We're not given that information. There may be many reasons why they were not prepared, but Dr. Wayne Oates has suggested that maybe it's possible that the mask of passive-aggressive behavior is part of why these women were not ready. Passive-aggressive behaviors are often used to avoid direct confrontation or conflicts. Many of us know passive aggression. We know what it looks like, even if we don't use that term to describe this kind of behavior. Passive aggression is seen in the friend or the family member who is always late. Passive aggressive behavior is seen in the coworker who neglects to return emails. The mask of passive aggression is seen with the person who always has something to complain about. The passive aggressive person is one who habitually responds, "Nothing's wrong, I'm just thinking." Passive aggression is seen in the silent treatment that someone offers to another person. This mask is seen in the person who denies that he or she is hurt or angry or offended, but still lashes out at other people in subtle or puzzling ways. This mask is worn by someone who is often sarcastic, but when confronted about their comments, they say, "Oh, I was just joking." Here's a good way of thinking about it. Passive-aggressive behavior is the demonstration of negative feelings, resentment, aggression in a discreet or passive manner. It is characterized by subtle comments or actions or inactions that indicate a person disagrees or is displeased with something or someone. See, maybe these five young women weren't just lazy. Maybe they resented having to wait, having to get ready, having to be prepared. In the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes the mask of passive aggression in this way. He says, "It is Mr. or Mrs. facing both ways." What a wonderful description. It has been said that a chronic discontent pervades the life of the person who is passive aggressive. Here are a few more concrete examples. The passive aggressive student doesn't go to class, turns in papers late, asks for makeup exams, begs for extra credit to make up for little work that was done during the semester. The passive-aggressive spouse agrees that certain tasks or activities need to get done, but he or she procrastinates and never quite gets around to those things. I could give you plenty of personal examples about that in my life, but I think I will pass on that this morning. At work, the passive-aggressive person functions well without major responsibilities, but when those responsibilities are given to that person, well, they become sloppy in decision-making, late in meeting deadlines. Dr. Oates gives five clear indicators that a person is wearing the mask of passive aggression. The first and probably most important is procrastination. It is the key trait of this kind of behavior and this mask. We see it clearly in the five young women in Jesus' parable. They procrastinated and simply were not ready. As you think about the mask of passive aggressive behavior, the question is procrastination part of your life? We often see procrastination in different ways, sometimes in decision paralysis. We become overwhelmed with so many choices that we struggle to make decisions and to prioritize the decisions of our lives. It is decision paralysis that makes us procrastinate. Or sometimes we procrastinate because we ignore the value of time. Time is not like money. We cannot save it and use it later. And every second that is wasted is gone forever. Procrastination, ignoring the value of time. Or sometimes procrastination is simply the lack of self-discipline. We know it is good for us. We know it is the right thing to do, but we simply can't motivate ourselves to do it. Procrastination is one of the key indicators that a person is wearing this mask. Second, Dr. Oates says, is dawdling. Now, that's not a word we use often, but dawdling is to waste time. It is to move slowly. It is to be idle. It is to be inactive. Again, we see that very clearly in the five young women in the text in the parable who were unprepared for the events that were coming. The third indicator is a sense of stubbornness. The person shows a determination not to change his or her attitude or position in spite of good arguments or reasons to do so. It is a stubborn sense of holding on to. Fourth would be intentional inefficiency. Intentional inefficiency. When we don't do something well, so we won't be asked to do it again. Or number five, forgetfulness. It's so much easier in life to say, oh my goodness, that just slipped my mind, I forgot about it, than it is to look at someone in the eyes and say, you know what, I just really didn't want to do that. Here are a few more signs of passive-aggressive behavior. See if you recognize them in yourself or in others. Frequently criticizing or protesting. Being disagreeable or irritable. Acting hostile or cynical. Blaming other people. Complaining about being unappreciated in life. These things are so easy to recognize in someone else. Maybe it's more difficult to hold up the mirror to ourselves and ask how these things are a part of our life today. People wearing the mask of passive-aggressive behavior often carry a persistent mood of never having any luck. The world withholds its silver and gold from them. They are the victim. Life is always unkind to them. If a pigeon flies over a crowd they are in, they know the one who will get dropped on. There's an important thing to say. If you see passive-aggressive tendencies in yourself, more than likely there is a part of you, conscious or subconscious, that is resentful, angry, hurt. Maybe you find yourself irritated at times at how often you just do what other people want or expect you to do. Or maybe you're angry or hurt because you feel undervalued, unappreciated. These feelings are fertile soil for the seeds of passive-aggressive behavior. So you feel resentful about what life has done to you, how others treat you. But at the same time, you struggle because you don't feel like you have the right to be angry. So all of these feelings are pushed down. They go into your subconscious and we act in seemingly agreeable ways. But occasionally, we will just throw out a little barb. We will add a little mean twist to our comments or our actions or to our words just to let the other person know that we're hurt or angry while we have a nice, peaceful expression on our face. Passive aggression is often masked as a way of expressing our anger and our hurt. You can't express your anger indirectly, so you get back at another person by doing it subtly in underlying ways. Or maybe you struggle with decisions. Another characteristic here is the inability to make decisions that are critical in life. Sometimes it's because of perfectionism, and we find ourselves thinking to ourselves, I'm afraid that if I make a decision, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to make the wrong decision. And this sense of perfectionism just invades our lives, and it paralyzes us and keeps us from making the decisions we need to make. And so we have to deal with this anxiety. But what happens is life goes on, and if we don't make the decisions, life makes the decisions for us. And Dr. Oates is really clear. He says when people wear this mask, they often just let life pass right on by. Again, the five young women in the parable. In not making a decision, in not taking any action, in being passive, we often allow things to be decided for us and decisions to be made for us. We live in that land of being indecisive. It's like in Shakespeare said in Hamlet, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against the sea of troubles by opposing in them. Constantly stuck between two sides of impending decisions, we let life pass us by. So again, we ask, what can be done? If someone we know wears the mask of passive aggression, if we ourselves see these tendencies, what can we do? Here's what I think is important to say this morning. One of the biggest problems of the mask of passive aggression is that we think this behavior is going to get us what we want in life. One of the biggest problems is we put on this mask because the world tells us if you act in passive aggressive ways, you're going to get what you want in life. But here's the reality. Wearing the mask of passive aggression keeps us far away from God's grace, and it harms and destroys our relationships with other people. Why is that the case? Well, here's the key to me. Passive aggression behavior violates Jesus' specific teaching to Christians. Listen to the words of Matthew 18. If someone sins against you, go privately to that person and point out that defense or offense. Basically, tell them how you feel. Be honest. He goes on, if the other person listens and confesses, then you have restored that relationship. Think about what Jesus is saying there. Think about the message. Think about the directive to us as to how we are to interact with other people. Jesus does not say, when someone hurts you, give that person a cold shoulder, hoping he or she will figure out that they have hurt you. He does not say, act pleasantly around that person, but from time to time make sarcastic comments to them, trying to let them know that they have hurt you, even though you're acting oh so nice. Jesus does not say, be disagreeable with the person who has hurt you without telling them why you're being disagreeable. No. Jesus says, be direct. Be honest. Tell the other person why you are hurt or why you are angry. Go to the person, Jesus says. Go, the first verb in that command, go. And be honest. You see, we may think that our passive-aggressive behavior hurts the other person, but the truth is, we are only hurting ourselves. The other person is simply thinking, well, he or she's just having a bad day. But we are the ones living with this hurt and with this pain that we carry around and that we spew out on other people in subtle ways just because we have to have a release. Life is way too short to be passive aggressive. Life is way too short to be passive aggressive. Because here's the reality. The passive aggressive person is unaware of time, unaware of the shortness of time. Being ready. In the parable that Jesus tells, it is about the second coming, yes. But being ready is also about how we live life today. It's not just about some point in the future. It is also how we live life today. It is being ready to be honest and open in our relationships with other people. It is being ready to live life to the fullest. It is being ready to enjoy the banquet and the feast that God wants to invite us to. And we waste time by playing passive-aggressive games in our relationships with those we love and care for the most. Instead of being prepared for Christ-like handlings of relationships, passive-aggressive masks are like the five young women in the parable. Their lamps were empty, their wicks were untrimmed, and guess what? They missed the wedding banquet. They missed the feast. They missed living joy. That is exactly where the mask of passive-aggressive behavior leads us, to missing joy. William Barclay, the New Testament scholar, writes, we are chosen for joy. However hard the Christian way is, he says, it is the way of joy. There is always joy, he says, in doing the right thing. But when we evade the duty of responsibility by being passive, we miss joy. The Christian is the person of joy. God wants us to have joy. But this mask, see, it robs us of joy. It leaves us outside of God's banquet. It leaves us unsatisfied. It leaves us empty. It leaves us wanting. It leaves us out of God's feast. Being passive aggressive never, ever gives us what we want in life. So this morning we remember the words of the psalmist that we read earlier in our service for today. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. In other words, God, I feel disconnected from you. I feel disconnected from other people. How long is this going to go on? And the psalmist prays, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. That is what we want, God. And Jesus says, take off your mask. Take off your mask. Enter my banquet. Live in my joy. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful for reminders. reminders in your word that reinforce for us how easy it is to fall into the ways and patterns of this world and to forget your call for how we are to live and work and love one another. Lord, thank you for the examples you give to us. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to be honest and open in our relationships. And most of all, Lord, keep us close to your grace and always experiencing your joy. So lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.